Now we should read Chaitanya Charitamrita, but I feel highly, highly unqualified to do so. Just as a brief introduction. Chaitanya Charitamrita is the proof that Srila Prabhupada gave us everything. There is no need to go out there and reach out for transcendental knowledge outside of the range of Srila Prabhupada's books. And the proof is that Sri Chaitanya is the most condensed summary of the most intimate pastimes of the Lord. Actually, when Chaitanya Charitamrita got published, and it was done in an amazing way, total marathon, those who were those days present, they were just desperate. Prabhupada gave even a time limit for that. And the first thing, by that time, Bhagavatam was already almost out. Bhagavad Gita was published. BBT was functioning. But those devotees engaged in publishing and editing, they said, Prabhupada, this is not possible. In this time frame, this kind of monumental work like Chaitanya Charitamrita to publish, that's not possible. Well, Prabhupada's answer was simple. He said, impossible is in a word, in a fool's dictionary. It doesn't exist. Prabhupada didn't accept it. So the time frame was ferocious. Prabhupada wanted illustrations. These paintings were painting in shifts. So this, you do this to an artist. He is painting, then he takes a rest, and the other artist continues painting. That's probably the worst you can ever do to an artist. You know, it's unacceptable. You know, he comes back in the morning and he goes, oh, who painted this? You know, oh no. And then he has to continue. So it's like there was a devotee running around India making photos from the places, documentary, like that. It was done in a ferocious time frame. It was just impossible. Humanly impossible to publish a book like this in such a short time. And actually it was done. Prabhupada was pushing and pushing and pushing. Then when Chaitanya Charita came out, I remember, it was a shockwave going through the devotees. They were like, what is this? I said, Prabhupada, we don't understand one word of this. And now we are supposed to distribute this to others. Prabhupada was firm. He said, I followed my spiritual master blindly. And he said, these books have to be published. He didn't even told me how they were distributed. As a matter of fact, when you go in a history of book distribution, you find in the early stages, Prabhupada was not even considering devotees will distribute these books. I mean, obviously, nobody thought like this. This was not a book distribution movement, this was a Harinam movement. All devotees were out on the street. You join Hare Krishna movement, you will be on Harinam 12 hours a day. This was really like this. I remember in Germany in the early days, just devotees went in the morning and they came late at night back with bloody medangas. I remember the medangas were always bloody. Always. The medanga players, they had these tapes, you know, around the fingers. Just, I remember even taping with this industrial tape. They were like, you know, and they were playing in this kind of weather, no problem. You know, frozen, everything. And then some magazines came out. So you added some magazine if somebody was... But otherwise it was invitation to a Sunday feast in Harinam. People knew Hare Krishna movement. Oh, this is the people who are out there on the street all the time, you know, making Harinam. Books. Yeah, Prabhupada obviously was writing. And obviously he wanted his books being published. But devotees were not thinking that actually that... I mean, how do you sell a book? I didn't join this movement as a bookseller, you know. I had no idea. As I mentioned, I hated people. I didn't want to go to anybody. I want to speak to sell him something. I want to speak to sell him something I don't understand even. You know, Prabhupada didn't care. He put us into this regime. This is published. And then, obviously, it was needed to sell it. Prabhupada was considering commercial advertisement. Prabhupada was considering, I remember once in Germany, remembering this, Sankirtan was already going on, but the temple president decided we could enhance book distribution by hiring professional booksellers. I remember that Sunday all kinds of gentlemen arrived in the temple with their cars, you know, following the advertisement. And actually one of them, he summed it up all. He said, no, I cannot sell this because I'm not convinced about the quality of the article. He used to sell vacuum cleaners and who knows what. And he was probably a good vacuum clean salesman. But he said, I cannot sell this. I cannot identify myself with this. I don't know what it is. So people will notice that. That's actually the essence of Sankirtan. If we don't read these books and we don't identify ourselves with them, then how can we distribute them? People will get to feel it. We used to be so excited anytime a book came out, we carried these books as persons out to the street. There were devotees, I was, you know, like in Germany. So anytime a new book was published, it was a feast, it was a celebration, you know. And devotees carried the books in the streets like I remember one devotee said, it's hot from the press, you know. And people were going, ah! You know, they almost felt how hot it is. Devotees were so in it. They were so convinced. They were so fired up. Every book was like Krishna appeared again. It was like one big Janmashtami. So that's required. Now when Chaitanya Charitamrita came out, devotees were going, you know, how do we understand prasadam is the bhoga mixed with the saliva of the Supreme Lord? You know, how do people understand saliva of God? You know, this is beyond the range even of any religionist, as Prabhupada said, even of a pious person. If ecstasy is described, I mean, just imagine what we are supposed to read in the morning today. That Srimati Radhika is the transformation of Krishna's love. She is this internal energy called the Hladini. Okay? The Hladini energy gives Krishna pleasure and nourishes his devotees. Lord Krishna's body is eternal, sat, full of knowledge, chit, and full of bliss, ananda. His one spiritual energy manifests three forms. Hladini is his aspect of bliss, sandini of eternal existence, and samvit of cognizance, which is also accepted as knowledge. When you have to have a very personal understanding of God to start even get a glimpse of this. Actually, when devotees ask Prabhupada, you're always talking about these Mayavadis. Actually, who are these Mayavadis? Prabhupada stopped and he said, you. Because we are so impersonal by nature. We grew up in an entirely impersonal society with entirely impersonal concepts being implemented into us right away from the birth. And it's getting worse and worse. The technology is very instrumental to that. It gives you just an anonymous identity. You can be on the internet, anything. As this joke goes around, two dogs have a web page. And one dog tells the other, you know, I hope nobody notices we are dogs. You can be anybody out there. You can assume any identity. Totally anonymous. Anonymity, this is actually what demons want us to live up to. Because when you divide people, they are anonymous, they are quiet, then you can control them better. When they communicate, they come together. We know it in Krishna consciousness. As soon as devotees communicate, they come together, which is a demanding thing, to be in a group. Because we are individuals, and we are not the same. We will never be the same. When Prabhupada was informed, devotees are quarreling and fighting, you know what his comment was? Just see, it's not all one and the same. You know, that's the proof. Of course, we aren't supposed to prove, you know, our individuality by fighting each other all the time. But this will be also implemented. This is unavoidable. So it is demanding, yes. But when it can come, when it's teaming up, that means, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, a very small man follows a big man. So then that, when there's a leadership, there must be a leadership. And when that team spirit comes up, amazing things can be done. And that was proven in the history of ISKCON. I mean, I was part of something so grand, you cannot imagine. It was so big, we could hardly follow. You know, even Prabhupada sometimes, he walked around, he said, Brahmananda, it's really big, isn't it? You know, there was temples coming up, there was devotees joining, there was, you couldn't hardly cope with the success. There was so much success that you couldn't even manage this. You know, there was all kinds of people coming, and there was so much activity going on. And when you can coordinate somehow, and somehow come to a point of cooperation that requires communication, then amazing things can be happening. So that all is based on personal spirit. We can do all kinds of things, we are in, but in front of Krishna, and we got a very clear instruction what Krishna's mission is, what his desire is. Therefore Prabhupada said, no, we are going to print this. And of course, it's a fact that Chaitanya Charitamrita was not intended to be a mass book distribution item. Prabhupada gave a very clear idea what books should be there for mass book distribution. That's just to give an example, that Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, this teaching of Lord Chaitanya, Krishna book, Bhagavad Gita, of course. And then we have the basic smaller books, introductory books like that. You know. That was basically it. But keeping on printing, yeah, well, you know, there's one problem. You cannot just print 5 copies of Chaitanya Charitamrita. It will become so expensive, you will not ever be able to print that book. So you have to have a certain amount of books for the printer. So that's why these books came, you know. 60,000, whoops, you know, and 100,000, whoops. And then who is going to distribute this? I remember Chaitanya Charitamrita sitting in a book lagers for a long time. As a matter of fact, I heard even in America, they were so desperate, they were shifting it to India. It was actually largely distributed in India. It's a big book, too, you know. So I remember in Swedish we had 4 Chaitanya Charitamrita in 4 books, you know, so it was like a book like this. Just the fact you give it to somebody on the street, people are going, oh, you know, such a big book. I have no idea where I play to post it, you know. Yeah. So, Prabhupada didn't care. He simply printed these books. And then, amazingly enough, actually it happened almost by accident. 2 brahmacharis parked at the gas station. And then they realized they don't have really enough money for the petrol. And one of them, he said, well, we have these books here in the car. So he offered the man at the cashier a book. And the man somewhat got interested. So he said, okay, you can, you know, that's like the payment for the petrol. And the brahmachari came out completely ecstatic. So ecstatic that the other one sitting in a car was going, what happened? And he said, he took a book. And the other brahmachari got very curious. He said, but you are completely ecstatic. So he tried to distribute a book too. And they both came back to the temple completely ecstatic. So the devotees were asking, what happened? And they said, we distributed 2 books. Then everybody started to experiment, grab a book and going out. And whoever came back was completely in ecstasy. So that's how it started. It became a massive thing. So massive, devotees stopped sleeping. They stopped eating. Christmas time, they were out there until midnight, you know, because in Christmas time in America, that's where the people are out. And that's where they spend all the money. Otherwise, what's the use of Christmas marathon, you know? We Christmas, what we have to do with Christmas, you know? Santa Claus, ho, ho, ho. You know, what is this? What is this to do with us? We end up even in a way that one marathon, I just mentioned it, we had a competition through the newsletters, and I was like on the top, and then there was a devotee, I forgot the name, I don't never remember the name, but he got agitated that I'm number one, so he wanted to defeat me in America. So he dressed up as a Santa Claus. And he had a big sack, you know, as they carry around. And there was this edition of Krishna book, paperback, packaged in one box, little thing like this. So by distributing such a box, which was like a thick book, you distributed three books. So that was counted, you know, the counter was going on. Dun, 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 dun. So he went with this sack and he was going, here, Srila Prabhupada's presence, you know, with a beard and with a Santa Claus. And there are many Santa Clauses out there, you know. So, and people were taking it. And he became so ecstatic. I heard even that he came to a bank, you know, and there was people everywhere. And he was going, Srila Prabhupada's presence are here. And people were even throwing money on him, and he was giving out the books. Somewhere around midnight, he was so ecstatic, he ran out of books. Then he sold his Santa Claus suit also, you know, and he ran to the temple completely in bliss. So he defeated me that marathon, I remember. And it created quite a scandal. Prabhupada, you know, was reported to Prabhupada, you know, devotees are now looking like Santa Claus. That's, you know, what is this? And Prabhupada's comment was very pragmatic. He said, we are living in a free country. Anybody can dress as he wants. So suddenly there was so many Hare Krishna Santa Claus out there that the newspapers wrote, don't trust any Santa Claus. It could be Hare Krishna. You know. So I'm not recommending this. I'm not making an advertisement. All devotees should look like Santa Claus. It's an American rasa, you know. Anyway, then came Max Bunnies and all kinds of outfits, you know, behind. And it's quite complicated to distribute like this, and there's no need, really. You can distribute as a devotee. That's completely sufficient. So I'm just mentioning this, that Chaitanya Charitamrita for us was always something to worship. But to dive into it, let's be serious. This is way beyond our range of understanding. You should not imitate. I remember in Finland, they have a special system in Finland. Books get imported into the country and they are in a custom. You know, now I don't know, that's some years ago. And they are locked in a custom, and you take books out and you go, then they are declared. Until then, they are just in a custom book lager, in a containers. And there was containers of Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know. Nobody dared to touch it until it was declared, it's enough. This marathon we do only Chaitanya Charitamrita. So all devotees went out and they were just doing only Chaitanya Charitamrita. Well, you know, in Finland it can happen. Soon they had some gentlemen arriving in a Sunday feast, rolling on a floor, going goga, 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 and making, you know, some sounds of ecstasy. Of course, they were all drunk, you know. When you drink a whole bottle of vodka, you can feel all kinds of things, you know. You can reach it, Charitamrita, to it too. So, you know, so that's Finland. So, you know, so it provokes sahaja. And it's not, absolutely not meant that way. This is the most precious piece of Vaishnava literature. The most like diamonds being collected in one book. The most intimate pastimes, the most intimate description, scientifically described. And the amazing thing is, what surprised us on Chaitanya Charitamrita, the purpose of Srila Prabhupada are sometimes quite spicy. Pretty heavy things you find there. And we said, that in comparison to this most sublime rasas being described, and Prabhupada's purpose are very spicy. So much that actually once upon a time his godbrothers approached him and asked him to rewrite the purpose, to change it. Prabhupada didn't change it. Because when you read in a purpose, I don't want to make, I mean, I have a whole collection of this, but it's Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's stated in a purpose that in this movement you find even demons. Yes. Dressed up as the devotees. It's a pretty daring thing to say. I wouldn't dare to go around and find a demon here. You know? But I know they are there. People who joined this movement to destroy it. I know they are there. So, and Prabhupada gives a great length described materialistic devotees, Kanishtha Adhikari, all this, you know, taking it all apart. It's heavy warnings built into the purports. I was wondering, why did he do that? Just to prevent that Sahajism coming up, just cheap understanding of, and actually it's very offensive. Prabhupada put up restrictions. He said, like, the most intimate pastimes of the Lord should not be discussed publicly. There's plenty of letters about this. He said, we should be very cautious about this. Always understand who you are talking to. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, this shouldn't actually, it's a secret. It shouldn't be explained to faithless people. But actually, we should not go on Sankirtan. Isn't it? No. Prabhupada explains that following Lord Chaitanya, we are emptying out the storehouse of love of Godhead anyway. And how do we know out there? We don't know in a public who is actually that devotee and who not. So we are giving it unconditionally to everybody. You know, at the risk that some people actually do commit offenses, and they do. And at the risk that, they will mistreat that, you know. So that's just mentioning it. I always have a little hard time to lecture from Chaitanya Charitamrita because it's so way beyond me. You can just worship, you can just read, you know, and it's not an academic exercise. It's supposed to be understood, it's supposed to be followed, it's supposed to be relished, but in a very discreet way. There's a discretion needed. Sometimes we are not completely aware what Srila Prabhupada gave us. He gave us vocabulary everything. And everything means from the sadhana bhakti, the basic practice, up to love of Godhead. So by going on Sankirtan, which comprises the whole process, you can start book distribution as Madhyama Adhikari. Kanishtha Adhikari, not possible, sorry. Automatically, whoever goes out and is involved with preaching must come very quickly to the level of Madhyama Adhikari. Otherwise, you cannot preach. You have to discriminate. Oh, that's a demon, that's the innocent one, and that's the devotee. And you have to go to the innocent ones and to the devotees. You have to inform them. So you have to be informed, even you are not fully realized, that's okay. But you have to come to that level. Kanishtha cannot do that. Kanishtha, I don't want to give go now on Kanishtha because usually I get in trouble. It's too familiar to us. Some people may get offended. They think, is he talking about me? No. Kanishtha symptoms are clearly described. But I hope I'm not too controversial, but Kanishthas will love rituals, they will love designations, they will love institutions where they can shine, titles, you know, even rituals, even puja, but it's all ritual. And Prabhupada describes, he also in Chitna, they have a tendency to become impersonal. They can easily be polluted by impersonal concepts because their faith is not very strong. But they camouflage the whole lack of faith and dedication by external symbols. That's external. Now we are all practicing it also. Sure, we have some rituals and we are dressing like, but ultimately it comes down to, are we really believing or are we really trusting Krishna that he is a person? Are we trusting Srila Prabhupada that he is the one who brought Krishna consciousness to the West and he is empowered to preach to us Western people? Are we really trusting this? How many people Prabhupada can still bring to Krishna consciousness? You know, I'm still meeting people who just say, I noticed, I know how the discussion goes, but sorry, I have to say openly, Lilamrita, whenever we distributed that, I mean, I'm meeting people who just, you know, who wouldn't read a Bhagavad Gita. They don't know, you know, they sing, I don't understand. But the same person told me, when I read the life of this man, I cried. You know, and Lamita is just giving some glimpses. The real thing, if you study personally to Prabhupada, you find such a treasures. What a life. And what a depth. What a person. Just from any point of view. Any point of view. Even people who really don't understand Krishna conscious philosophy, they just starting getting glimpses of Prabhupada's personality, they get overpowered. Such an amazing person. So what has he done? We are the living proof of that. We would never have access to this, or we would be highly, you know, diverted. I wanted also to go to India before I even chanted, you know. I was always thinking, going to India, yeah. Guru, very interesting. Luckily, I never got there. I came to the temple, I had already a ticket to India. Devotees going, oh, very nice. And then they look at the ticket and said, this can be returned, you know. And they took the ticket from me and somehow they cashed it in. I never went to India. They said, you will go with us when the time comes. Took like 5 years, 6 years. And it was actually perfect. By that time, being sheltered by devotees, I had quite a blissful stay in India. Those days it was very simple. It was called the ISKCON Mayapur Vrindavan Festival. 2 weeks, 2 weeks Mayapur, 2 weeks Vrindavan, and home, finished. It was not this kind of, wow, you know, no. That was for inspiration. 2 weeks Mayapur just to get purified. And then came Vrindavan, which was already turning out to be quite demanding. I remember coming into that Vrindavan, it was like, you know, Mayapur was still, Haribol, Haribol, Sankirtan Ki Jai. Actually, Mayapur festival was like one big Sankirtan meeting. I had, you know, all the book distributors came together, so that was really some energy, you know, coming out of this. I remember the top leading book distributor coming to me and going, next year I will defeat you. That was the Sadhu Sangha those days. So, you know, it's like, you know, it was all just one big Sankirtan meeting, the whole thing. And then Vrindavan, and that was, coming to Vrindavan, it's like coming to Krishna's home, you know, and it was suddenly very delicate. Everything was not easy. So ultimately, yeah, I was sometimes quite happy to go back again because I thought, oh, that's where I belong, to the shopping street. That's the real thing. It's not very subtle out there, you know. Hey, take one of these. Get lost. Okay. You know, that I felt more comfortable with that. I said, oh, that's where I belong. That's the purification for me. That's the parikrama, you know. That's the real parikrama here. So I still feel like that until today. Sorry, I'm not really the big parikrama man. And it's wonderful parikrama, all these wonderful programs, but I don't feel really like, okay. Because Prabhupada said, okay, we got now inspired, we got purified, and then back to the service. That was the idea. And if somebody said, I love Vrindavan, I want to stay, no problem. But then you have to serve in a temple. And you have to be practically involved, you know. Not this, you know, oh, wow, ooh, wow. And then you go back, and then what is the result? You're inspired, okay, good. So what are you going to do with the inspiration? That was always the idea. Prabhupada was very practical. So everything that Prabhupada gave us is very practical. Everything has a meaning, you know. It's not just a question, something to believe. It's not a question of some rituals and some you know, some hollow procedures. No. Everything had a substance. Everything was real. So, Prabhupada wanted us to read Chaitanya Charitamrita, but he also made clear first Bhagavad Gita, then Bhagavatam, then Chaitanya Charitamrita. And prior to Chaitanya, teaching of Lord Chaitanya as an introduction. So it's stages. We should not necessarily jump, you know. We should be careful. Actually study, and even Bhagavatam, it's first canto, and then it comes up to Krishna's lotus feet, to 10th canto and all this. So it's gradual. Prabhupada quite often used the word gradual when you study. It's a gradual development, gradual advancement, gradual this. Prabhupada used it quite often. But you know, we were all 20 years old, for us nothing was gradual. Everything was instant, immediately and now. That's when you are young, you know. And young people usually cannot understand the word gradual. What do you mean gradual? Now, hey, now, we do it now, yeah. We change the whole world in 2 weeks, yeah. That was actually the mood, how this movement started. We thought, oh, we are taking over. I was standing on Haranam in the city of Heidelberg when I joined. I was 1 month in Krishna consciousness, filled up with halava up to the neck, you know. Actually, the Sunday feast was sometimes very funny in that small temple. Nobody came. So devotees just, instead of sitting there, what? So we went on Harinam. And that city is known that even on Sunday, which is normally quite a dead day, you know, in Germany, no, the shopping street was always full. I was just this summer in the very same shopping street doing Ratha Yatra. It was very nostalgic, I have to say, because it's a very narrow, you know, shopping street, and it goes for, you know, 2-3 kilometers like this. So to make Harinam there, you know, the walls are resounding, you know, it's like going through a tube. And we loved that, you know. It was 80 devotees on Harinam was normal. So, you know, with 6 midangas and, you know, and the windows were going like this on the buildings, you know, like this. And, oh, we loved it. And at the end came always the German police. That was like the, you know, that was the peak. They were already prepared sometimes. They had buses and they put us in the buses. And we had some very, very eccentric GBC, Hansa Tutadas. He was really in a fighting mood. He loved the police. He was like, come on! You know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna! And then we had all kinds of techniques. Half the police was coming, half the bodies disappeared in the shopping, in the side streets. So they caught only half of them. And they drove them to the police station. It was at the end of the shopping street. Big police station. They put them in a police station. You know, identification. And the other half started to make Harinam around the police station. So they got so confused at the end they didn't come. They wrote a paper. From now on, you are entirely forbidden to chant in this city. You know. And then we had another GBC who was taking it as a great inspiration. He said, thank you for the letter. It's most inspiring. We would like to inform you that now we are doubling the time of chanting in this city. It's amazing. There was no answer coming back. And since then, they didn't dare to touch us. Because they said, oh, who knows what these people can do, you know. It's quite, you know. Prabhupada actually, there's a whole preaching tour of Prabhupada. At that time, devotees in Australia got in severe trouble. They were all in jail, actually. And Prabhupada took it as an inspiration. He said, all my disciples in Australia, they are sitting in jail. He started lecture like this, you know, traveling around the whole world. And he said, because they were chanting the holy name, and my instruction to them is, keep on chanting. And actually it turned out that one of the most dominant Christian bishop, Australian bishop, he stood up and he said, how can you do this? This is religious people, you cannot lock them up like this. And he actually, he helped very much that the ban on the devotees was, you know, was dismissed. Prabhupada was very grateful to him. Anyway, I don't know the details, but I heard about these things. So that's Prabhupada's uncompromising order. You will distribute books by any circumstances, and you will chant the holy name by any circumstances. Nothing can stop this. And when, you know, and when devotees, some noise, yeah, when the war comes, or people will have no money, and that's going to be the end of book distribution, Prabhupada was very angry. He said, "Who said that? War is not for devotees." He said that. And he said, regarding book distribution, it will go on forever. As a matter of fact, it's a fact. When people start to suffer, you know, they start to ask questions. Our time is maybe still coming. We just have to be prepared. Because now they are all drowned in the shopping centers, you know, and they all think, "Oh, we have it all, and, you know, and I'm very rich, I took a loan." Everybody is in debt, more or less. That's the whole idea. To put people in debt. You know, and they think, I'm okay. Well, it's difficult to accept Krishna consciousness when you think like this. But when the whole thing starts to crumble and fall apart, then people will start to ask questions and they become more inquisitive. And that's exactly our time. Don't worry, these books, you know, we don't know. Important thing is that they are out there. That's the important thing. It's like, before you go to school, first you buy the books. When the school opens, we don't know. And who the teachers really will be, well, actually we don't know either. It could be us, if we are qualified. We are preparing ourselves. Lifetime in preparation. Srila Prabhupada spent his whole life like this. 40 years, more like 40 years preparation. All the time, thinking, how can I fulfill the desire of my spiritual master? How can I preach? Preparing himself all the time. And then seeing the end of his life approaching slowly, he just took the final risk. You know what this means, to go in that boat? Alone, no servant, no assistance, nothing. Going to a country you have absolutely no idea. Prabhupada never saw snow in his life. You know, why to speak the people living there? Prabhupada said, when I arrived in America, I just simply walked around and studied, what are they doing here? You know, refrigerator, that was also something, you know, vacuum cleaner. Prabhupada was going, what is this? It was a vacuum cleaner. You know, Prabhupada was just studying. It's like you come to another planet. You know, they have two horns and everybody is green. You know, so you are kind of studying, you know, what are they doing there? Prabhupada was just, you know, and then you are supposed to preach. My dear UFO people, chant Hare Krishna. And they do strange things. Prabhupada said, my disciples, they are so pure, they don't even smoke LSD. And all the hippies were like, okay, alright. He had, one devotee told Prabhupada, when he got initiated, I was so sinful before I joined, I was selling drugs. Prabhupada said, me too. What kind of drugs you were selling? Because he was working in a pharmacy. And the devotee was just, no, bro, I was not in a pharmacy. The innocence and purity of Prabhupada was just staggering. On top of that, Prabhupada wasn't, you know, physically spoken. He was an old man. And he preached practically only to young people. To people who could be his grandchildren. And they were excited. Normally young people are not so excited about old people. You know, they think, yeah, that's the wise guy. Yeah. And actually most of the old people, I'm personally also not excited. I'm 63 years old, I tell you, I don't like pensioners. You know, all these people who just sit there and you think, that's okay, so what? Well, yeah, they look to me like statues, you know. There's some life. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said, you cannot preach if you are not alive. Dead stone cannot preach. So the age has sometimes a tendency to mummify you, you know, just because there is pain in the body. Yeah, it is increasing. But I was much in pain when I was 32. I was much more in pain as now. It's temporary, you know. When I dropped out of the Sankirtan, then after 15 years, well, I was pretty wrecked. Don't get scared, because we did things you don't do. We did really crazy things. You know, eating the whole winter, frozen apple, frozen yogurt and peanuts. That was the diet. You know, I can teach you how to eat a frozen apple without breaking your teeth. So, you know, and then we did crazy things. Showering on snow all the time, you know. You know, you pull the barrel with the water out of the car, you break the ice because it's frozen on top. And with a lota, you stand there on a field, you know. I can teach you how to take a shower on a frozen puddle, you know, with water. Because when you shower on earth, it gets dirty feet. But on the ice, you have to jump. Because when you stand and you shower, it freezes pretty fast. So it really hurts, you know, when your feet are frozen to the ice. I remember all this. We used to do crazy things like this. You know, no heating in a car, nothing to cook with. You know, just eating peanuts and, you know, running around and frozen banana. That's really something, you know. It's like ice cream. You know, it's like, so, you know, so, yeah, that you don't have to do this. It was passionate, it was immature, it was never, nobody thought long term. We all wanted to die. You know, it's like there's no tomorrow. That was the idea. Well, it gave us quite simple view, you know. It's like today, the last book, let's give it out. That was the mood. It's like kamikaze, a little bit like, you know, yeah, the last flight, now we are diving. Ooh, you know, bang. But the bang never came. It's a problem, you know. Life is long enough to fall in Maya. It's never too late to fall in Maya. You become an old, stupid fool. It's no problem. There's plenty of things Maya can orchestrate. But to become Krishna conscious in lifetime, one lifetime, that's pretty short. So that's the problem. That's the deal we got along this body. It, you know, it can live long enough so you can be really anytime fall in Maya. But considering one lifetime, it's pretty short. They always tell you, you're a senior devotee. Come on, senior, I feel like I joined yesterday. You know, I joined, I was 18, but I feel like sometimes like that. What is? Am I rolling in ecstasy on the floor, tasting Chaitanya Charitamrita when I chant my rounds? For sure not. I'm glad I get them chanted at all. You know, sometimes you chant and you think, oh my God, Krishna, will you accept this? You are kind of slapping the holy name, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Hare. Okay, now 16, you know. 16 rounds, you just count it down, and it's horrible. It's just horrible. Prabhupada writes in Charitamrita, we should chant lovingly, personally. Then he comments, yes, and some of my disciples, they produce simply hissing sounds, you know. Yeah. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's like you want to kill Krishna, or what? I don't want to give now a japa lecture, but if you really think what we are chanting sometimes, it's really embarrassing, you know. Just imagine, you have a name, and somebody wants to glorify you. You know, let's say, I don't know what your name is. I just pick up, just Paramatma. So, Paramatma Prabhu, I will chant now your holy name. Hare, para 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 para. You think, what are you chanting? Well, it's your name, I'm glorifying you. It's actually an insult. And we are chanting every day, you know. Just imagine what Krishna thinks about this. He has to hear all this. You know, but Krishna is so kind, he goes, yes, they are chanting my holy name, yes. I will hurt them nevertheless, yes. If we would understand how tolerant and merciful Krishna is, we would be much more inspired to preach. Prabhupada used to get occasionally overpowered, overwhelmed with that mercy pouring in. And you hear especially some of the Vyasapuja lectures. It's mortifying to hear this. This one lecture, he doesn't finish. He just goes, describes how we all were sent to him by Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. And who knows, he says, who knows? Who knew that with all this will happen? This grand success and all these people sitting there ready to give their lives for him, just like that. You know what that means when somebody comes to you and he goes, I am all yours. Tell me what to do, I will do it. Did you ever experience like this? I don't think so. I had close calls like this. People coming to me and... Anyway, so I was like thinking, oof, just imagine. Anything you say, that's absolute truth. Anything you do will be observed and followed. It's heavy. It's a heavy responsibility you have there. So Prabhupada was overpowered. He just started to cry and he couldn't finish the lecture because it's so amazing what Krishna can do. It's so amazing what he can give. It's amazing we are sitting here at all, you know. We shouldn't actually do that. By law of karma and by our destiny, we should be really something else. You know, at best some pseudo-yogis, you know, going, you know, oh, something like that. Because there might be some spiritual inclination. But that we can actually be engaged in this mission. We are holding books like Chaitanya Charitamrita in a hand. Something which is the cream, a la cream from all transcendental literature. The most essential descriptions and most divine and condensed description of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's a challenge. So Prabhupada was so extending to us such a huge credit. The question is, can we ever pay it back? He told us, no, you are. Before leaving, even he said, you are all pure devotees. Devotees were like, what? Me? Why? Prabhupada gave the most simple definition of a pure devotee. He said, because I don't pay you. And that was a fact. Nobody came to get some payment. Nobody came to get some material reward. It was just surrender. You know, I had, you know, those days when I joined this movement, oh, the anti-sect movement was screaming, you know. When you join these people, you never get a pension. You will die as an abundant, old, miserable man. No money. You become a beggar. Well, I still don't have any pension. No. And it's true that considering the service being done by other devotees, we could do a little bit better. You know, I don't want to go now into this, but we could do a little bit better. People can see that. You serve for so many years and then not even a Hari ball. So this is not in a frame of our philosophy and this is not our culture really. But anyway, I don't want to go into this now, but still, there is always two personalities out there. They will always be with you. And if you really want to make your insurance for your old age, distribute some books. Krishna will never forget. You will be eternally recorded. And as a matter of fact, any devotional service. Prabhupada wrote me one letter. And actually, I took it as a little warning. He said, devotional service is absolute. That's how it starts. I took it like, don't discriminate. Don't think you are the best book distributor. And then there are the others. Yeah. Yeah, that's those who cannot distribute the book. That's arrogant. Devotion is absolute. Like down the road, I really learned to appreciate whoever is coming on an altar. I could never do this. It's a kind of silent heroes who always, every morning, stand there, you know. In some of these temples I visit, you have the same pujari for the last 20 years. So just imagine what he went through. And every morning it's just, you know, it takes quite some determination, and one has to be quite brahminical by nature to do this. You know, yeah. Every day, the same time, morning, everything. You always eat pujaris in the afternoon, trying to catch up with the rounds and all this. And you know, this is like a little movement in itself for me. This kind of, Krishna Kshetra Prabhu calls them the silent heroes. You know, they're there. So you learn to respect that. This is, oh, hey, Krishna took me on such a trip, you cannot imagine. I became a temple president, became a manager. Well, there you really learn to appreciate any service, because there is really always somebody missing. Who will cook the Sunday feast? Oh! Well, not me, I'm not a cook. So then you start to look, who will cook the Sunday feast? And then you learn to appreciate somebody standing in a kitchen and cooking. You learn to appreciate each single devotee who cleans the floor here, otherwise we couldn't sit on it. You can understand the quality of a temple by walking through the temple room. If you come out with dirty socks, something has to be improved. And here I notice, I have a little dirty socks. Because there is somebody here walking, I don't want to be too particular and personal, I don't even know the names, but I see always somebody here with a broomstick like this, going like this. I could, you know, I'm not long here and I wasn't here for a long time, but I could pick up this. This is for me heroes. They always have the broomstick, always make sure there is clean flow. You think, wow, that's simple, isn't it? Well, you do it all the time, it's not simple. Nothing is simple when you do it all the time. It's all little heroes walking around like this. So that's what you learn to understand. But whoever goes out there and touches that book and goes out on the street, better he thinks twice, because falling in Maya becomes very difficult. It's always possible. We had one Sankirtan, I could tell you so many stories about devotees trying to leave Krishna consciousness. Impossible. Those who were on Sankirtan, very difficult. Very difficult. We had one devotee in Germany, naturally, who was still young, brahmacharya, still, you know. So he always distributed to ladies. He always was, you know, the energy, the female energy. So naturally it came to a point, he disappeared. And those days devotees were not so compassionate, really, you know. They were like, she got him, Maya, you know, that's not good to do. The poor guy, he just got rolled over and he's out there and we are just having a good time here. That's not good. So in that case, that devotee came back sooner or later with hair. And it was the same kind of Mataji's, Buddhistic, vegetarian, you know, very interested in spiritual life. And those days we had like, in a temple, like a whole 15, 20 Matajis, you know, that was the Sankirtan parties on their own. So they immediately noticed, hey, there's a new Mataji here. So they all just flocked around here. And women, they have their own ways of preaching, you know. I don't think we can understand. They are just... They are like a sect on their own, you know. They just have their own thing. So she got fired up. She got, hey, these girls have a fun here. And he was like, let's go again. Yes. Because actually, the only way to get a girl for him was to preach. He didn't know anything else. He was very a social person. So he was out there with the Bhagavad Gita, you know, to get a girl, which is a very strange way to preach. You know, but this was the only thing he knew. So then naturally he found this Buddhistic, vegetarian, spiritually oriented girls. And then she stayed. She said, no, I don't want to go back. I want to stay here. So he left. Didn't took long, he came with another one. Buddhistic, vegetarian, very interested. And again, the girls were going, yeah! You know, within 1 year, we had a whole Mataji party like this. And the original mood of the devotees changed. They were like, you know, he is coming again here in Maya. No. They were going, no, go out. No, just bring another one. It was Krishna's trick upon him. There's nothing more foul as you go out there in a search after female and then she starts to preach to you. You are lusty up to your neck and she goes, you know, we are not this body. I must feel terrible. But Krishna has his humor. Why not? Prabhupada didn't make any restriction. Who will disseminate this Hare Krishna movement? Male, female, four legs, three arms, who cares? The major thing is you can go out and give these books out. The books will stay. We will leave. As we are sitting here, sorry, we are all going to be dispersed. One after another. You know, I can sit down here and I'm on TV. Well, tomorrow I'm not on TV because I'm dead. It's as simple as that. It's guarantee coming. So it's nice to sit here actually and not being dead. Who knows? We don't know. We never know. So there's nothing pessimistic about this or something sad. It just happens. So even more so, a very book going out, a very marathon to take part, a very round to be chanted, a very minute of association of devotees who can remember Srila Prabhupada and chant his glories. That's so precious, so valuable. So let's collect more of this. You know, yeah. Let's more marathons, more this. And marathon, you know, for me, the word marathon start to become more like, let's see who is still around in 1 year. That's marathon. If you see a devotee after 50 years going, marathon ki jaye, well, that's the marathon. Some marathons you may distribute more, some less. It's good to have an idea and suggest to Krishna, please, 10,000 books would be nice. Krishna can surprise you. I was last year in England, I don't remember exactly, but there's something around quota, around 100,000 books. They would like to do that. It's a powerful congregation, and they have many people out there who normally don't distribute books or even so much. They just come out on marathon. So they just did that. Well, they did 140,000 or something like this. This year they want to do more. So it's nice to have an ideas. But even you don't do that, it's the attempt which counts. Srila Prabhupada also was most encouraging to devotees. Sometimes they were just depressed. Prabhupada, we tried, the result is not very big. Prabhupada said, it's always big. We tried. There was one program, they arranged big program for Prabhupada, rented a hall and hardly anybody came. Prabhupada gave a lecture. I was part of such a program when Prabhupada visited in Germany, the year I got initiated, 1974. We had a big advertisement and big thing and then we rented a hall and then it was just the first two rows were filled and from that it was mostly parents of the devotees. Prabhupada came on a stage, it was packed with devotees, there was bombastic kirtan, Prabhupada sat down in Vyasasan, he gave a lecture like the whole hall is packed. I remember there was only one question, you know, after the lecture. Some guy in the back, he squeaked out, do you know Guru Maharaji? Prabhupada said, who? No. And that was the end of the lecture. And Prabhupada was completely inspired, you know, and once in such a program, devotees were like a little bit depressed, you know. And Prabhupada said, what's the problem? He said, the hall was full. All the demigods were joining when we were chanting. It was sold out. Packed. Prabhupada was never to be discouraged to preach. Even the slightest opportunity, he just took it. Because you never know. You never know. So we are not in control of the result. We just try our best and then the rest is up to Krishna.
So much about Chaitanya Charitamrita. I am not a big Chaitanya Charitamrita analyzer. There's some comments or questions to this. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.